This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just see how long that loves the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi. Is that how much you love him? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. The talk is entitled, Have You Completed Half Your Deen Yet? Some people might be confused. But let me ask a very straightforward question. This is why I have jelly beans in my hand. Okay. How many of you are married here? Raise your hands. Allahu Akbar. Smile, brother. I know you're married. This is why I'm going to give you a black jelly bean. Okay. Please smile. Okay. We might change the color soon. Okay, who is the oldest one married here? Okay. How many people are unmarried here? Shame on you. Give me chocolate, don't give me candy. You give me, I'm not going to give you. Okay. So tonight, inshallah, I'm going to talk about marriage. What is marriage? And why do they say in the West all the time, are you married or happy? Have you heard this before? This is why the young people are always scared when it comes to marriage. I think they see like their dads all the time with 111, you know. They're going to say, I'm not going to go there. And what are the reasons and the goals for marriage? And when should the person marry? And how can the person choose half his deen? Or the partner with whom he would complete half his deen? And what are some misconceptions about marriage? This is going to be the main point I'm going to be covering tonight. I started this one time before and it was called Have You Completed Half Your Deen Part 1. This is part 2. For those who attended part 1, you know, just be patient because we're going to wrap it up quickly with the first part so that people who are here for the first time and did not attend part 1, so they know exactly what we'll be talking about. So these are the main points. What's marriage? When should I get married? What shall I get out of marriage? How can I choose the best spouse? How to go about finding such a spouse? And then we're going to end up with correct your misconceptions about marriage. So let's start with the first one. What is marriage? Marriage in Islam is the only legal relationship between a man and a woman. And if you compare this to the culture under which we live today, people can have a relationship and it starts with something called dating. Alhamdulillah, in Islam we love dates. It's the sunnah to eat dates in the morning, but we never date. You know? So, the idea of the relationship between the man and the woman, because it usually starts at junior high or high school. Who's she? She's my friend. What's your name? Mo. Complete your name. Ah, it used to be Muhammad, but now, you know, I got a discount, so it became Mo. Because I'm hiding something. Okay? So, in Islam, we don't have friendship between the two genders. Except if you're interested in someone, it ends up by going through the door, not through the window, as we're going to be talking about when it comes to how should I approach marriage. So what's marriage in Islam? Let me repeat this again. It's the only legal relationship between a man and a woman. Second, it's a kingdom of Iman. You know, Iman, not your cousin, okay? Iman means faith here, okay? It's a kingdom of faith, in which there is a man called the king and a woman called the queen. And they live together in this dunya to end up in Jannah. They help one another to end up in Jannah. Not the way it is, again, under the culture which we live today. What's the relationship between man and the woman? It's always competitive, right? Man is up there, so try to compete with him. Who said that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the criteria in the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat, Surah number 49. Excuse me, because I just came from traveling right here. And as number 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, talking about Adam alayhi salam and Eve. Allah created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in this ayah by saying, who remembers the ayah? Surah Al-Hujurat, the end of which, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. How does it start? MashaAllah. It's a clean one. Are you married? Alhamdulillah. I'll give you two, inshaAllah. Single ones, okay?
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا.
O mankind, we have created you out of a single male and a single female. That's that. Not to kill one another, as is happening today, or manipulate one another. No. To get to know one another. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the criteria by saying, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable amongst you in the sight of Allah are the most God-fearing, the most pious, those who have taqwa. And I think I explained taqwa to you before. Did I? Would you like to know the meaning of taqwa? Quickly, in an analogy, inshallah that will remain with you. What happened to London? You always interact with me. Do you want to know the meaning of taqwa?
Yes.
Not now, at the end of the lecture, until you start motivating me, okay? You look great. Did you eat biryani? Okay. So, marriage is a serious commitment. Because many people today, and that's what I have noticed, and most of the communities where I lived in the West, that some people marry and after 3 months, or 6 months, or sometimes a year, they come to me, and the man says, I don't want to do this anymore. And then the sister says, I think I was not ready, so I want to get out of this. It's not a game. It's not an overnight relationship. It's not even a word, as some people think. It's a sentence. It's a life sentence. So, since he got the joke, I'm going to give him a one. So, it's a life commitment. Because I was saying. So, when you get into marriage, you should know that it's not an overnight relationship. It's not a camp of a week and then you're going to go home and that's it. And some people go into marriage thinking, you know what? Marriage is going to be all fun. Yeah, we'll eat together, you know, enjoy one another, and then we'll establish a night prayer together, and life will be very easy and simple. And then once they get into the marriage, and, you know, you have to pay the rent. Huh? Me? You have to buy diapers. Oh, me? You have sometimes to do the dishes to help. I'm the man, so what? Okay, so it's a big responsibility. This is why I decided, wherever I live, if anybody comes to me to conclude the marriage contract for them, I say, you have to attend my class about marriage, and you have to pass it. Not just to attend the class, because everybody, okay, I'm going to come. And they sit there smiling. How was it? Wonderful. Okay, there's a test. Huh? I'm not coming. No. Because you have to know what marriage is all about, from A to Z, so that you know what to expect in marriage. Again, we have to understand that the relationship in Islam between the man and the woman is that they complement one another, which means they complete one another. Not the fact that they compete with one another. Because when it comes to Again, the culture in which we live, it's like a competition. He has that degree, I have to have that degree. You know, it's 50-50, everything. No, in Islam, subhanAllah, the man is completely responsible for everything. Financially, he's obliged to, you know, provide for all the needs of the family. If the woman contributes out of her own free will, that's something that she's doing. And this is why when the Prophet, you know, commanded the young people to marry, he said, Ya ma'ashara shabab, as we'll be talking in a few minutes. Man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. O young men, whoever has the financial and physical means to marry, let him marry. So he made it clear. So you can't just start marrying and then you live in the basement of your dad and then you expect your dad to pay the money for you. Because they're going to make the decisions for you. Because they're going to interfere in everything in your life. If you want to start a new family and be happy, you have to be independent. I'm not saying to cut off your relationship with your parents. No, but to be independent, because most of the problems and most of the divorces happen because of the interference of the in-laws. And many people don't know the difference between the in-laws and the outlaws, right? The outlaws are always wanted, you know that. So if we understand that the relationship between the man and the woman in Islam is that they complete one another, not that they compete with one another, then we will reestablish that relationship upon the pillars that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified, as we will see inshaAllah in the coming slides. You have to answer all these questions before you complete half your deen. What? What is marriage, as we talked about it? What to expect in marriage? When should I get married? Why am I marrying? Because some people, you know, they don't even know the goals of marriage. They limit it to one goal or two goals. There are so many benefits, as we will see. How should I, you know, approach the idea of marriage? Who should I marry? And also, where should I be living when I get married? That's very important. We're going to be talking about it. So is it important to answer all of these questions before I get married? Yes. Go in detail into them. When should I get married? The Prophet ﷺ answered this question in the hadith narrated in the Sahihain, Bukhari Muslim. Hadith that I was just sharing with you. Ya ma'ashara al-shabab, O young men. Why didn't the Prophet ﷺ say Ya ma'ashara al-shabab wa shabab? Why didn't he say, O young men and women? Because who's supposed to be proposing? Who's supposed to take the initiative when it comes to marriage? It's the man, right? But one of the misconceptions, can a woman propose to a man? Can she?
Yes.
And the brother said no. Okay, so we have a liberal school and a conservative school, okay? We're going to talk about this because this is one of the misconceptions. But to tell you the right answer, it is yes. But how? We're going to talk about how, okay? So the Prophet ﷺ said this because it is supposed, the default is that the man is the one who has the upper hand. He is the one who goes and proposes, okay? So this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya ma'ashara al-shabab, O young men, من استطاع منكم الباء؟ الباء أعباء الزواج. So it means the financial and the physical means. He is physically mature and is financially able to provide for the family. فليتزوج. Let him marry. Why? فإنه أغض للبصر وأحسن للفرج. Because it helps the person to lower his gaze and to keep chaste. Then the Prophet ﷺ knew that there will be some young people who will not be able. So as long as you're not able, wait. This is why we're answering the question, when should I get married? He said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطَعْ. And for those who do not have the financial means, or they are not physically, you know, mature, فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْرِ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ مُجَابٍ. Let them fast, because fasting will be like a shield for them to fall into the haram and commit adultery. So this is the answer from the Prophet ﷺ, which, out of which you can analyze this. So the person should be, we should look for maturity. And when we say maturity, it means physically, also emotionally, mentally, and financially. And you have to have these four very clear in your mind. Because some people are physically mature, but mentally they are not. Some people are physically mature, but emotionally they are not. And some people have the three, but they are not financially ready. And these are recipes for the failure of the marriage. Because sometimes, people even don't know the differences between how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created men and created men. Because men, by nature, are more visual than audio. But women are more audio than visual. What does this mean? The way to the woman's heart passes through her ears. And this is why sometimes you find a very beautiful woman married to a very ugly man. Simply because he's a sweet talker. He eats lots of love, though, you know. He knows how to always express his emotions. Because we are used in our culture not to express our emotions. Am I right or right? Do you agree or agree? I'll give you an example. You know, I'm a life coach. So many of the problems that come to me, the spouses, they will come and the woman will say, you know, he never talks to me. There is like, there's an emotional breakdown. There is no communication for the last 10 years. He doesn't express his emotions to me. You see, he's like he's keeping them, he's suppressing them. You see this kid? So, and I bring the man, I ask him. I remember one time, they were like in their 50s. And I asked the man, I said, when was the last time that you said to your wife, I love you? He said, Astaghfirullah. You want me to say to my wife, I love you? I said, Astaghfirullah. So you say to your secretary? Or to the neighbor? He even insulted me, said, like, you know, عيب يا شيخ, عيب. Shame on you. And I said, like, why? Why? Do you know that women love by their ears? And then I told him, I said, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed his emotions to Aisha in front of all the Sahaba. Am I right or right? You know, Amr ibn al-As came one time from one of the expeditions and he was the leader. And because the Prophet treated all the Sahaba in a fair way, he used to smile at them when he talks to them. He used to look at all of them while he's talking. So every single person thought in his mind that the Prophet loved him the most. And Amr was one of them. And Amr loves him the most. So he came from the expedition. He was victorious. So he came in front of everyone. He said, Messenger of Allah, who is the most beloved one to your heart? In front of everyone. He said, Aisha. He named her. He didn't say my wife. Today, we don't say the name of the wife or the mother, and the mother is walking in the street exposing most of her body. So we're ashamed to say the name, and she's exposing her body. You see the paradox and the understanding in the culture? I saw this with my own eyes one time. I was walking in the streets of Cairo, and somebody was calling his mother. Like, Ahmed! And then I expected the man, you know, just to come out of the balcony. Ahmed! And then all of a sudden a woman came and she's dressed like, you know, in a way that's not appropriate to come and be like, you know, in the balcony, because the balcony is like the street. And it's like, Astaghfirullah. Is this Ahmed? He said, you want me to say the name of my mother? I said, Astaghfirullah, haram. But it's not haram that your mother is exposing her body. This is culture. Who said that we know the names of all the wives of the Prophet? We know the name of his mother. Let's change the culture. So So the Prophet ﷺ did not feel ashamed to say, I love Aisha the most. Listen, there is something even more embarrassing. Then he said, Amr was so embarrassed. Like, I don't mean amongst the men, the women. I mean amongst the men. He said, Abuha. Listen carefully, the Prophet ﷺ could have said Abu Bakr, because her father has a name. But he still wants to talk about her. So he said, her father. Is that clear? So please, let's change the culture, because it breaks the marriage. You want to know the end of the story? There's a class called Delilah coming in July, inshallah. I'll see you there until I tell the story. Don't have time for that. Okay, so again, men should know the big difference between the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and created women. Whereas, you know, when we say women love by their ears, men love by their eyes. They want to see something beautiful all the time. And this is why one of the main complaints that come to me is that the sisters, after like, you know, 5, 6, 7 years of marriage, she gets like, you know, 1 or 2, you know, little monkey, angels. And she gets so busy with them, subhanAllah. She suffers with them for like hours and hours. You know, so sometimes, subhanAllah, she puts some weight. You know, she forgets to adorn herself for her husband. She comes back home, and, you know, she's like still in the suit of the kitchen with garlic and onions. Like, no, hey, honey, we'll come back. He's going to say, later. And he punishes her too. You know what he does? He goes to the room, comes out in the 24-year-old pajamas. He never changed those pajamas for 24 years. And he comes out like wearing the same pajamas. She buys him stuff and she puts it in front of him, like, throw away the pajamas. That's it. So we need to revive our life. Okay? If you want to see her beautiful, you should also look nice. But I'm the man. Okay? So what? Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, you know, was like, always like, dressed well. And one of the Sahaba saw him while he was like, you know, combing his hair and like, you know, wearing perfume. And he said, Ibn Abbas, this is the business of women. What are you doing? He said, Astaghfirullah. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They're exactly entitled to what you want from them with kindness in the way you treat them. So if you want her to look beautiful to auntie herself. Like, you see how beautiful I am today? What about you? Okay? Do it! Just like, you know, I do it in a nice way. Because sometimes you become very negative. And sisters, they don't know this, and this is why, you know, when they are, when she says to him, like, you know, they sit and watch the movie. And then when he watches the movie, you know, usually when a woman comes, he'll be sitting like that. And then he will just... You see, he's comparing. Right? And you don't know that you're bringing shaitan into the house when you do this. What do you think he's going to look at? And he is challenged day and night outside in the street, at work, in the street, with seeing beautiful women. So you have to be the best at home. So we need to understand this. So when I talk about maturity, I'm talking about physically, emotionally, mentally, and financially. Okay, this is for the brothers. Okay, sisters, you don't hear this, okay? Brothers, do you know what a woman needs from marriage? This is very important to know. Do you want to know these secrets? The woman expects a triple-A husband. We're not talking about batteries here, okay? A triple-A husband. You know when you go to school, you know, A students are the best, right? So they want A's, like they want A husbands. But I don't mean that too. When I say triple-A, each A stands for something. Women look for affection. That's what I was saying. How much does force you to say, I love you? Doesn't cost you anything. How long does it take you to talk to your boss over the phone? Sometimes 55 minutes. Can you give 5 seconds to your wife on the way back home? Assalamu alaikum, honey, I miss you. I'm coming. You make her day. Even those three little monkeys or angels at home, they're giving her a hard time for hours and hours. Once she hears that statement, wallahi, you made her day. Or at least he thinks about me before coming home. You might buy a flower for 50 cents. I know how cheap sometimes someone are. Okay? And then once you go home, you just like put it there. If you had a fight the other night, that flower will solve all the problems. Not how much is the flower, but she's going to think again, like, you know, thank you for the gift. Not for how much is it, but for the fault that you thought about me before coming back home. So the first is fault, affection, showing your love in words and in action. The second A is called attention. You know your wife, even though she's having a hard time if she works, and she's having a hard time, you know, when she has, like, you know, hard work with the kids at home too, and then she tries her best after 8 hours you're away from the house and she's adorning herself, she's waiting for you, and you open the door and she's waiting for you, you know, nicely dressed, smells nice, with a smile on her face, and you go inside like, you ruin her day. Why is she doing all of this? She wants your attention. But again, some of us, because we had a problem at work, we're coming back home with our problems from work. You should leave your problems at work outside the house. Or at least, if you want to discuss it, to get some advice from your partner in life, make it later. You just come back home with a smile. Can we smile? Your grief is not our acting. You can smile. Okay. So, a smile doesn't cost you that much. So when you smile, even though you have problems at work, she will appreciate that. Okay? And just like, you know, coming into the house like with a salam, so that shaitan will not stay in the house. And then a smile, and just say any statement, oh, I missed you the whole day. Do you know that the Prophet ﷺ said that lying is permissible in the emotional talk between the husband and the wife? What do you mean? Oh, this is very serious. This comes from that? That's very serious, okay? Because some people always quote me and they say, so you mean when I'm outside and I come back home, I took a look, I'm going to say, I was doing that with the shape? I'm going to another place? No. This is not the lying I'm talking about. I'm saying lying, and don't stop in the camera there, in the emotional talk. So for example, you know, when, as I said before, when the woman, you know, has like 2 or 3 children, she starts putting up some weight. Right? So the men become very harsh. Instead of saying it indirectly, you know what, like, you know, you don't look healthy, not that you don't look fit. Okay? You know, you just let me to take care of your health, you know. And wallahi, I just care about your health, you know. Try to be indirect. And then encourage her to go to a gym or to do something. Take some steps. Okay? But we blame them for that, even though some men after marriage, you know what happens to them? They become 7 months pregnant. Okay. But there's a big problem because women deliver by the end of the day. But men never deliver. That will stay there all the time. So what about you? I'm the man, okay? You see? So always think about the other party. Don't always think about yourself only. Now, this man is not happy. I think he disagrees with me. Okay. So the third A is called appreciation. So it's not, by the way, it's not wrong when I said that lying is permissible between the 2 spouses when it comes to the emotional. It's not wrong, for example, to say to your wife, you're the most beautiful person on earth. When in fact she's not. Because she's going to say in return, you're the most handsome man on earth. And you're like 7 months pregnant. Okay? So there's nothing wrong in lying when it comes to the emotional talk. But when it comes to serious talk, you can't lie. You're lying to God. Appreciation. What's appreciation? You know, she would be killing herself 4 hours in the kitchen to do the dish that you like. And then you come home and you sit and eat. And just like, you know, just leave. And sometimes she had to greet one of the kids to say, "Mom, thank you so much. It was delicious." You might think, it's like, you know, "Hey, how much will this cost you?" This, like, you know, this is called appreciation. You appreciate what she's doing. She spent 4 hours to cook that meal for you. And Allah, her intention was to please you, to make you smile, to make you happy. And then you eat and leave. And sometimes leave is like, you know, "Oh, it's a bit salty." Jazakallah khair. That's what you notice. What about the rest of the food? "I think you added more sugar because you want to kill me. You know I'm diabetic." Stop being negative. Appreciate something that she's doing for you. Also, in return, let's trip on the sisters because she's laughing a lot. You know, when your husband's staying outside the house doing 2 jobs, or sometimes 3 jobs, say Jazakallah khair because you provide for all of our needs. Jazakallah khair, you provide us with a place to live. Also be thankful and show appreciation. It goes both ways. But what I'm saying here, we're asking about what women care about most. That's what she expects in a man. Would you like a bonus after the triple A? Acceptance. Sometimes, as I said, you know, we go through things in our life. Sometimes the woman becomes sick or the man becomes sick. Because of, like, you know, the love and the relationship that they have, you know, we accept each other the way we are. Stop criticizing. Stop being negative all the time. You know, make dua and do what you can do as a human being to change the situation, but then accept the person because, you know, this is the way it is. What about men? Okay, sisters, would you like to know what men need? What do men live into marriage? This is very important. You know, the man wants to know that he's in control. He's the head of the house. He wants to feel this all the time. And this is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, and sorry brothers, there is no surah in the Quran called the Rijal. Because they always say, Islam is oppressive to women, subhanAllah. There's a whole chapter called women and Nisa. There's no chapter called men. Isn't this amazing? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detailed in that surah everything about women and their rights. In this ayah number 34 in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Al-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa." And unfortunately, some people misinterpret and mistranslate this ayah. For example, if you go to the translation of Marmaduke Macaulay, he said, "Men are superior to women." This is how his translation is. That is totally unacceptable. That's totally not meaningless in Islam. Al-qawama mas'uliyya wa laysa tashrif. So the best translation for the word qawamin or qawamun, al-rijalu qawamuna 'ala an-nisa, is men are maintainers and protectors of women. That's the job of men. To maintain means to provide for and to protect against any evil and any harm at the top of which is Jahannam. Because this is our job. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified the job of the believer in this dunya. It's surah number 66, ayah number 6. Well, husbands, you'll have children, you'll have qurrata ayn, comfort or coolness of the eye, and you'll have a moral community. Because if we don't have marriage, we'll have dating. And if we have dating, we'll have 44 million single mothers living in the only superpower in the world, in slums. This is the fruit of dating. So we have immoral community. And we have children, most of the children, according to studies in psychology, most of the children who become criminals are the children who are the fruit of that illegal relationship for dating. Because when they come to the community, they don't have a dad or a mom. most of the time because they throw them somewhere. So they want revenge from the community. But if somebody is raised in a legal relationship, in a healthy relationship, they're supposed to be good members of the community. So look at this beautiful ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, what shall we get out of marriage? In Surah Al-Furqan, Surah number 25, ayah number 74, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes ibadur rahman. There are many qualities of them. He said one of the qualities, is that they make dua. And those who say, our Lord, Rabbana, bestow on us from our wives. Hab lana min azwajina qurrata a'yun. The coolness of our eyes, meaning children. Waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. And make us leaders to those who have taqwa. Look at the dua, it's very, very beautiful. He didn't say, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet said, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَاسْأَلُهُ الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْأَعْلَى. When you ask, be big. Ask for the highest. How can somebody be the leaders of the pious and he's not himself pious? You see the aim here? وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Or amongst the muttaqeen? No. Make us لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. But the leaders of the muttaqeen. So we have to be muttaqi, and then we have so many muttaqeen, and then be the leader of the muttaqeen. See how Islam is encouraging to be a good member of the community and all people around you. So this is, one of the fruits of marriage to a kid. You get a wife, you get a husband, children who are the comfort of the eye or the coolness of the eye, and you would end up having a more community. تبع of the muttaqeen, you'll be one of the leaders of the muttaqeen. What else do I get out of marriage? Tranquility, as-sakina, love, mawadda, mercy, rahmah. If you read in Surah Ar-Rum, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in ayah number 21, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He created for you from you. Why? Because Eve was part of Adam. She was created out of the rib of Adam, right? So your wife is part of you. Eve was part of Adam. How intimate is that relationship? How close is that relationship? She's part of you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the two pillars of a successful marriage. He said, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ, and He placed in your hearts Mawadda wa rahma. What's mawadda? The highest degree of love. How many of you speak Arabic here? Okay. If I say the word love, how will you translate this? In Arabic. Hub, right? Allah didn't say hub. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ حُبًّا وَرَحْمًا. He said mawadda. You know why? Because it's the highest degree of love. The word the mawadda is the highest degree of love. This is why one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wadud, not Al-Muhib. It's the highest degree of love because Allah is the most loving to us. Even though we use His blessings to disobey Him, but He still forgives us and He's waiting for us to go back to Him. He's Al-Wadud. So Allah said, and He placed in their hearts mawadda. And you can see this at the beginning of marriage. There is like engagement before the engagement, right? In Islam. And this is like equal to dating, right? But with certain restrictions. So during the engagement period, you can see this mawadda. And you can see this mawadda in the first year of marriage. But maybe gradually, second year of marriage, it becomes hub. And then sometimes that hub and mawadda go to the children. And you will find many of the spouses that say, Wallahi, I'm living with him only because of the children. Okay, when he hears that, he said, likewise. Okay? Why? Because subhanAllah, they're not prepared, they don't know what to expect in marriage. Allah. I need to put who Allah ahad in Christ, give them this. And this is one third of the Quran, by the way. Do you fast? I'm a Muslim, of course. Which month? Generally, most of the time, because when it's cold, short day. Come on. He drank. What do you think he's going to tell you if he even drinks? He'll say yes. It's a dumb question. Do you date? I eat dates. Do you eat halal meat? Do you watch the TV? Do you want to get married? Okay, let's continue with this. Okay. These are the search questions. What do you think about this? I'm just giving you suggestions. Okay? What do you look for in a husband or a wife? It should come from both ways. And then give to listen. To know exactly how he or she thinks. Another question would be, what rule does Islam play in your life? Oh, you mean Islam, my cousin? Oh, he's a very good person. So he has no idea that he should do something for Islam. He always expects Islam to do something for him. So you can tell about the character of the person, if Islam is something to him or not. Tell me the last time you got angry, and why? Oh, when my dad took the university from me. So you know how silly the person is. Or when I just fajr for 2 days because I was sick. So you can know the person that you're going to deal with. When my parents were upset with me, I couldn't sleep. That's why I was really, really angry with myself. When I missed my word of the Quran before I speak every day. So you can know what type of person you're going to be living the rest of your life with. What's the hardest thing for you to follow in Islam? And why? How often do you wake up for Fajr? You say, what do you mean by Fajr? Okay, so you can tell. If you were to invite a group of people to your wedding, would it be your friends or family? Why? Because some people, sometimes, unfortunately, they're ashamed of their family. They would hide. Yeah, so it is a type one. Give your family for that. That's how much. Are you a better listener or a speaker? And you can tell during the engagement that somebody never gives you the chance to speak. It's like, you know what? I just wanted, like, yeah, let me tell you. And this and this and that. You know, can I? Of course you can, but let me finish. It's like, I'm a good listener. You never give me a chance to talk. Okay? So that will give you an idea. Some more questions. If you get into an argument, how do you settle it? Just get out of the house? Or call 911? How would you settle it? Or would we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our judge and the Prophet as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Nisa, Surah number 4, ayah number 59. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasulahu wa al-amri minkum. And then after that Allah said, wa in tanaza'tum fihi min shay' farudduhu ila Allah wa al-Rasul in kuntum tu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhir. If you are true believers in Allah on the day of judgment, take all your problems back to Allah and His Messenger. This is why I always say, in marriage, if there are any problems, take them back to the Imam who fears Allah. Don't take them to the in-laws, as I told you. Because sometimes their interference, you know, make it more worse. Make it worse than it was. Would you like to be independent or to be taken care of? So you know the character you're going to be dealing with. Some people say, you know, my mom, she always does things for me, she makes decisions for me, you know, I don't have time. You know, whatever she says is good, we come to do that. So you know what type of husband will be like? He'll be like, in fact, his mom. Okay. When you are upset, how do you communicate? Would you start like yelling and hitting? Or would you respect the person and like just like be silent or leave the house or go and make a move, change the position, and then later on, when things are normal, you discuss things wisely. If something is bothering you, how long will it take you to bring it up? Some people keep it for ages in their hearts. And they'll always remind you, you know, when you fight, and then the fight is over, And fights are just fights in a fight of life anyway. Don't expect it to be peace all the time, okay? So when there's a fight, and after that, the husband was wrong, he brings like, you know, some piece of gold or like, you know, whatever it is, you know, and it's like, I'm sorry. And then she said, okay, forgive you. And then the next month when the, you know, ceasefire ends, and there's another fight, and the war starts, and then the man was wrong again. And he comes back and says, I'm sorry, but like last month, but he said, you forgave me. Yeah, I forgave you, but it's still here. And this is the difference between yaghfir and ya'fu. Yaghfir is to forgive, but to keep it in the heart. Ya'fu means to erase it from the heart. So we should learn how to forgive and forget, because Allah, when he described the muttaqeen, in Surah Al-Imran, he says, وَالْعَافِينَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. He didn't say, وَالْعَافِينَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So we should learn how to forgive and forget. And don't keep it for a long time, because one of the big problems in marriages is that we leave very small things to pile up until they build a wall between the husband and the wife. And it becomes very difficult. No communication for like 5 years. That's too much. But if you bring it up in a nice way, after a week or something, then it's killed. It's not going to pile up. What's your worst habit? You know, some men, you know, when they used to pray about single life, you know, they leave the toothbrush in the shoe, you know, they put the towel under the bed, you know, this is their life, right? So, and the wife will take this for like, you know, a week, two, a month, two, you know, it's like, it's like having, you know, like the toothbrush to be in the top here, and, you know, and the towel should be in this right here, like, okay, and then next day, the same thing. So these things bother them, okay? And we have to be considerate of other people's feelings. So, know your worst habits and try gradually to get rid of them. What's your banking account number and your PIN code? That's a very important one at the end. In conclusion, some of misconceptions about men, and I go through them quickly because my time is over. Can a woman propose to a man? I asked this question at the beginning, the answer is yes. But, because sometimes what comes after but negates what was before but, right? How could this be done? Like, for example, let's say that a family was a family, okay? And that sister knows that in that family there's a good man, and he's known in the community to be a good person. So she can approach her husband, sorry, her father, or her brother, or her uncle, and say, you know, that is a righteous man. And I would like to marry a man like him. So if he's interested, I would love to marry him. But she can't go directly to him and say, hey, I'm interested. She can't do that. Because the most distinguishing thing of women is haya, is shame. Okay? And can a man go and try to find a husband for his daughter? Umar radiallahu anhu did that. When Hafsa radiallahu anha lost her husband, he went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he asked him, he said, like, you know, would you marry my daughter? And Abu Bakr didn't say anything. He didn't talk. Then Umar was upset. And then he went to Uthman. He said, Uthman, would you marry my daughter? Uthman said, no. He said, فَكُنْتُ عَلَيْهِ أَوْجِرْ. I was more upset than Uthman. At least Abu Bakr didn't say anything. And then he said, I went to the Prophet ﷺ to complain to him. I said, like, I proposed to Abu Bakr and to Uthman. Abu Bakr was silent, and Uthman said no. The Prophet ﷺ said, Umar, Hafsa will marry someone better than Uthman, and Uthman will marry a woman better than Hafsa. And this is exactly what happened. Because the Prophet ﷺ married Hafsa, and Uthman, one of the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, was better than Hafsa. And subhanAllah, when they asked it, like when he asked Abu Bakr, later on he said, why didn't you talk? He said, because I heard the Prophet ﷺ talking about her. He mentioned her name one time. But wallahi, it's my honor, Umar, to marry your daughter. And if the Prophet ﷺ did not marry her, I would marry her. That's a good character. Does culture matter in marriage? It does, as long as it does not contradict the deen. But today, subhanAllah, we respect culture more than we respect the deen. And everything, unfortunately, illa ma rahim Allah. Except those that who Allah subhanAllah have mercy on. So we need always to ask Allah and His Messenger first. Then whatever we do in culture that does not contradict the deen, no problem. Like what? Give me an example. Like the ring. This is culture, right? In some culture, people like, you know, they put the ring, even gentlemen, in the right hand side, if the person is engaged, right? And then if he's engaged, then they move it to the left hand. And, you know, sometimes we become very serious about that, like, you know, wear the ring. I want all women to know that you are engaged. You are in prison, okay? So they wouldn't. So the idea is, this is culture, okay? Does this contradict the deen? Wearing a ring? No. But if it becomes a aqidah, because I know in some of this culture, some people, what they do, they write the names. So she would write his name on the ring, and he would write like the opposite word, okay? And then they think, when you do this, if he takes it off his hand, then something will happen to the marriage. That's very dangerous. If you believe that that ring will be the only means that will keep your husband, so you believe that this is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is in control of the heart of the husband. Allah is in control of everything. It's just culture. Okay? So if the culture does not contradict the deen, that's fine. But if it becomes an aqidah, then no. No way. Should a love story precede the marriage? This is in the romantic movies. But wallahi, 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 I'm telling you, most of the marriages that were based on that end up in failure. And we always get this from the Romans. We always get this because we watch lots of movies, which are never, never, ever realistic. And in fact, subhanAllah, they make it impossible for people to think about marriage. Because you see the, you know, the palace and the mansion they live in, you know? And you see how, you know, subhanAllah, they do lots of haram before they get married. Because they know one another for a long time without the knowledge of their parents. And they might end up doing haram. And that, you know, man sometimes leaves her. So the best way is to do things the right way. And wallahi, love comes and grows a lot after marriage with the relationship. As long as you made the right choice from the beginning. If you choose the woman who has the deen as a priority, anything else comes second. And if you choose the man who has deen and akhlaq, then love will grow and grow and grow, and your life will be very happy. And what's more important, as I said at the very beginning, what's marriage? It's a kingdom of faith, in which the man is the king and the woman is the queen, and they end up helping one another to end up in Jannah together. It's a company that ends in Jannah. It's not a company where they fight about the money and, you know, this and that. No. Does education level and age matter? Most of the time, yes. When people are compatible, this is very important. When it comes to the social class, when it comes to the age, when it comes to the education. But does this mean it's haram, for example, like for somebody, like, you know, the woman has a PhD and the man has, like, you know, a university degree only, or vice versa? No, sometimes an illiterate person is wiser and more experienced in life than somebody with a PhD. But I'm not saying that this is the default. Okay? Age also, it's very important to have, like, you know, a minimal difference, like, you know, of 3 years, usually the man is older, 5 years, 7 years, but more than that sometimes, you know, they belong to two different generations, they don't think the same way. Does this mean that if there's like a gap of age, marriage will always, you know, fail? No, there are some exceptions. When we're talking about the compatibility, it's very important. Does the dowry reflect how much he loves me? The more he pays, the more he loves me? No. The Prophet ﷺ said, the less the dowry, the more blessed the life will be. And look at the dowry of Aisha radiallahu anha. And look at the dowry of Fatima radiallahu anha. The Prophet ﷺ married Ali to Fatima with the Quran that he memorized. Where can we find this today? Wallahi, I was amazed one time when I was concluding a marriage contract for a sister who was a reserve. And when I asked him, like, because I was her wali, I said, how much do you want? She said, I want him to buy 4 mushaf and put them in the masjid. I said, okay, and? He said, that's it. I thought that this is like the beginning of the dawah. He said, that's it. I said, I wish our Arab sisters would come and learn something from you. But they sit cross-legged and say, 50,000 to start with? Who can give more? Okay. Are newspapers, online, chatting, matrimonial services, safe ways to get married? Absolutely not. Because most of what's available, of course, like first of all, you know, everybody, you know, in the newspaper when they put an ad, which is like an old-fashioned way, but you know, still in some countries, it's still there, you know, they wouldn't be truthful about themselves. And sometimes, like a funny situation, there was a brother who was very blunt. He said, "Muzara yarhab fi zawaj," you know, like a farmer wants to marry. Okay? And then he put some specifications, and then he said, "Wayfadda an yakun ladayha jarrah." And it's preferable that he would have like a tractor, because like he wants this to help him, you know, in the farming. And then he said, she doesn't have to put her picture, but she can put the picture of the tractor. So this tells you. Online chatting, of course, it entails lots of haram. Because many of sisters like, and the brothers say, like, why? I say, would you copy me as a third person? She's like, no. She's like, why? So you must be showing something emotional, which is haram. Even if you are fiancés, okay? Even if you emails, if you send emails, you know, a third party should be copied, like, you know, the wali. Just to make sure that there is nothing there inappropriate being said, okay? But mostly the phone calls, the facade book, all these, like, you know, like means of, like, you know, communication, what do you say there? What type of pictures are posted there? And this is when the beginning, when Shaitan starts. Can the in-laws abuse their authority? Most of the time they do. And this is why I'm saying, you can get some tips from them, but don't ever take the problems to the in-laws with all of due respect to them, because they will always be biased. I would be biased to my daughter, and he would be biased to his son. Even if it's 5%, this is hard. So always take it to Allah and His Messenger. And that will be through an imam who will guide you through this, or somebody who is like a social worker from an Islamic background, or a life coach from an Islamic background. At least he will analyze it through his, like, you know, you are right here, you are wrong here, you need to go back to Allah and make tawbah, and you don't abuse her, and you don't abuse him, and he will guide you through. Okay, we have a question. Can we have a question from the sisters, and then we'll have a question from the brothers? Question from the sisters? You don't have one, brothers, mashallah, already, so we'll get one from the brothers and get back to you. Okay, Okay, so the brother is asking, a non-Muslim is asking him, why is it allowed in Islam that, you know, cousins can marry, and whereas in other religions, you know, cousins are married. I don't know, you know, any religion that says, you know, cousins cannot marry. Even if some people claim to be Christians, as you mentioned, and they don't allow this, you know, they talk about Trinity, which is not true. They talk about not even polygamy, but having like polygamy, like, you know, marrying more than one wife. Whereas there's nothing in the book that stops that, and they attack Islam because Islam talks about that, you know. In their own distorted Bible, it says that, you know, Dawood, alayhi salam, you know, married like 1,000, and Sulaiman 100. So isn't this polygamy? Okay, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, you know about Sarah, you know about Hajar. Yaqub, alayhi salam, he had 10 sons from one wife, and Yusuf alayhi salam and Benjamin from the other wife. What is this called? So this is just like bias, okay, it's culture. That was what I wrote to that story. Sisters, do you have a question? We'll give back to the brothers if you don't have a question. Okay.
How important is it regarding the parents of potential spouses? Because sometimes we need a father or a mother. So how important is it to be beforehand to know the parents of your potential spouses?
Oh, you will move both ways? Yeah. So, the chief is asking, how important that for the two parents of the two spouses, or the two expected spouses, you know, how important that they should get to know one another. Of course, it's important because, as I said before, how would you know that the sister has the, you know, is religious, plus, you know, it's a friend that she's beautiful and she's wealthy and she's like, she's coming from a family. Same thing, how can the other family know that the brother is, besides, mashallah, he prays and fasts and does this and this, he has good akhlaq. But there's no, like, set limit of, like, you know, it has to be, like, you know, 6 months or 2 years, you know, because usually, like, people propose and then the job starts. You know, it's the wali of the daughter who should go, or the sister should go and check, you know, about the brother. And of course, he wouldn't ask them. He would ask about them. Okay, but once they get and they interact together, you know, it should be up till they are convinced that he's the right person for their daughter, and they are convinced that this is the right daughter for him to marry. But the responsibility of the wali is more important than the responsibility of the side of the husband, because the husband is supposed to be like a mature person who can even like make his own choice. And the interference of his parents could be like, you know, maybe like sharing something that he doesn't know about her, but he's independent, and during the marriage he's the one who sits with the wali and puts his hands in his hand. It wouldn't be his father or like, you know, his uncle. But it should be as long as they have enough information that convinces them that these are the right people and the right match to one another. Yes, sir.
Yes. I know you talk about the ideal situation with someone that is married. The situation nowadays is working couples, as we can see the culture in Latina, both husband and wife, both of them working.
Of course, like I think I mentioned it, like there's no harm of both of them working. And but at that point of time, there should be like mutual agreement between the two of them. Because as we know, women in Islam, did the sisters hear the question, the men hear the question, the brother is saying, you talked about the ideal situation where the man is responsible for everything. But what about the real situation that we live in the West now where both of them are working? He said there is no problem. But still, it does not change the fact that the man is responsible for everything. It doesn't work that, like, he's going to go and say, hey, honey, we're going to marry, you know, and I'm not able, so you'll be spending on the family. That doesn't work. Or I'm going to be working and you're going to be helping me. That doesn't work. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man istata'a," he's talking to the men who will be establishing the house. Okay, and the man is called Rabb al-Usra, figuratively, meaning he's the one who makes the family and spends on the family, who provides for all the needs of the family. So you can't start a family if you're not financially independent and able. This is why the Prophet ﷺ put this in a condition. He said, those who cannot, those who are not able to marry, let them fast until he's able to marry. So if the sister, If the sister contributes, this is her own free will. And it has to be by mutual agreement. For example, let's say she takes 8 hours of his time and his kids' time. So they sit together and say, okay, I'm going to give 40% of my income, 50% of my income, 60% of my income. Some sisters say, I'm going to put all my income because you need it now.
I know you're looking for the ideal situation. Again, this is what this now says. I'm talking about the real situation where the responsibility, you know, it's not only financial, then looking at the kids, looking at the kitchen, you're not in the share in the situation, you're talking about people. The real situation is people. So, should the guy in line, I know you're talking about the men,
Oh, this is something. This is something completely different, because I was talking about have you complete, like I was. This is meant to guide people to marry, but I'm not talking about the ideal husband. What should we do at the house? Of course, you know, the Prophet ﷺ was the best husband. Yet, you know, he was the Prophet ﷺ, and he's so much, like, so many responsibilities. Yet, he used to, you know, clean his, like, his clothing, clean his shoes, help in the household, you know, errands and stuff. And we're not expected to do this. And like when I was saying this in the middle of my talk, I was joking, by the way, when I said, you know, the marriage with the dishes, I'm the man. Of course, you should help. But again, what I'm saying is, it would all end up, or go back to the idea of, did you choose the person who has akhlaq or not? You know, because if you have good manners, you know, when she's pregnant, he would appreciate the fact that she's like, she's not normal. When she's during her cycle, she's not normal. You know, when she's sick, she's not normal. You know, and even when she's normal, he would just come one day doing dishes. One time, if you like can cook, he can cook one day. You know, taking the garbage, you know, you take the garbage. You know, running errands, you know. Of course, like it's, marriage is a company where everybody does what they can. It's not the fact that, you know, guy buys me, you know, I'm the man, I just go out to work and that's it. I'm the one there, I deliver you and that's it. No. It's like, you know, we, like this is the word of all of them, you know. You come and you see something needs to be done, do. Don't come like, you know, oh, the house is not tidy, the food is not warm, so why are you doing your life here? Okay? And in, on the other hand, also some sisters, you know, if she's not working, she's sitting at home and she's like all over the phone all the time, or watching movies, and he comes back home and they don't have kids and she's not cooking. Simply is like, you know, okay, let's order pizza. Yeah, we can order pizza one time or two times, but I've been doing this in my single life for the whole of my life. Now I'm married, you know? So it has to be both ways. Of course, it works both ways. Okay, before you ask the question, are you married? You have a comment? Inshallah, go ahead. Huh? Mashallah, mashallah. Okay, give him three. He made one of his friends a Muslim, mashallah. Okay, any question from the sisters? Shall I ask the question that will never be asked?
That is actually going on too.
Shut up.
Yeah, that's going on now.
Oh, okay.
So if you want, if you have a question.
This is my third country, you know? That's what I'm going to do. You know, the question is, usually this is the question that comes to me, but not in public. What if I want to marry someone, or like both ways, the brother or the sister? And the parents are not agreeing because of the culture, or because of the ethnicity, or because of the color. What should we do? If you want to know the answer, there's a class called Uriah. Okay? Coming in July, inshallah, to London, by Dragon Mullah.
Been living your entire life in a trance, in a state of heedlessness, ghafla, negligence, in denial. At the count of three, you will begin to see the signs. Three, two, one.
وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين.
At the count of three, you will be awake. Three, two, one.